Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Be looking at verses 13 through verse 17. Begin to look at a thought this morning. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Now, I thank God for that first time that Jesus came, what we refer to as the first Advent. I praise God for all the things involved in that, the virgin birth, his sinless life, his miracles, his ministries, his teaching, his substitutionary death, his victorious resurrection, his glorious ascension into heaven. I praise God that he came in this world to offer the only way of salvation. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm looking forward to that second coming. Because that second coming gives you and me hope this morning. Just as that first coming gave us hope of salvation, we have hope beyond this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. That second coming gives us a great hope in our life and in our world. God came the first time. He accomplished much. And then he left. We understand that in the book of Acts. But he promised when he went in the book of Acts that one, he sent another comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. But he also promised that he is coming again. Now there are many in our world that look at this promise and say, well, that's never going to happen. You know, they thought Jesus was going to come back again back in the days of Apostle Paul. They thought Jesus was going to come back. That's why you read the New Testament. You see they were looking and waiting and warring to the Lord return. And they were waiting for that time and it didn't happen. And there's some that say, well, there are certain things that have to take place before Jesus can come again. And what has to take place? What has to happen? But my Bible teaches that my God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ can come back at any time. It can be an intimate return, an immediate return. There's no other signs. There's no other things that have to take place. The Bible says no man knows the hour. No man knows the time. There's people that have tried to prophesy. There's people that try to say, well, Jesus is coming back at this year. Those remember, some of you that are old, you remember the Kool-Aid man. And they thought Jesus was going to come back, and they drank their Kool-Aid. And you remember those that went on a hill, and they thought the aliens were going to come and take them and end the world, and Jesus was going to come back then. Some of you remember other events of individuals that had compounds and everything else, and they did these things because they thought Jesus was coming back. There's those that have predicted. There's so-called cults and religions out there that have written in their books, their watchtowers, and their different things, and they said, this is when Jesus is going to come back. But let me tell you, no man knows when Jesus is going to come back. But let me tell you, he is coming back. Amen. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. There is those that say, well, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. But let me tell you, you may not be alive when it happens, but it's going to happen. I do believe we're living in the latter of the last days. I do believe it can happen any moment, any time. I do want it to happen sooner than later. I'll just be honest this morning. Many of you will be in the same boat. You're ready. You're ready. With all the craziness of this world, you're ready. But let me tell you, my God, Jesus' time is perfect. He knows what hour. We don't know. He knows when he's coming back. God knows when he's going to send Jesus back. He knows when that's going to take place, praise God. And it's a perfect timing. And I tell you, I'm excited about Jesus coming back. We're going to hit this a little more. But let me tell you, I'm glad there's still time for those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's still time to share the gospel. There's still time to tell them that Jesus is coming and that they need him as their Lord and as their Savior. But as a believer, it's a wonderful thing because there is hope. There is hope in regards to. Go ahead, and if you're not there already, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you're able to, please stand with me. We'll read verses 13 through verse 17 this morning. Verses 13 through verse 17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that he sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring you him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord should not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we thank you that we have this time to study your word, to look at your word. Lord, help us to see the truths that you have for us in this portion. Help it to comfort our hearts. Help it to encourage us. Help it to motivate us to live for you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to first see there will be a resurrection. There will be a resurrection. Jesus is coming, and there will be a resurrection. During this time that this was written, there was much confusion in regards to death, in regards to a resurrection, in regards to what happened to individuals. Those during this day thought once a person died, they would just stay in the grave the rest of their lives, and they had many different views of what was going to take place and what was going to happen. Some believed that their loved ones would never be raptured up, would never be resurrected up. They thought it was just going to be those that were alive. There was much confusion. That's why it starts off, verse 13. I want you to see this. This is why it starts off, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." He wanted them to have the right teaching. He wanted them to have the right understanding in regards to the coming of Christ coming back and the resurrection and what's going to take place. There is going to be a resurrection. He wanted them to understand the truth in the teaching there. He did not want them to be ignorant in this doctrine, in this teaching. Now, before we get too involved in the resurrection, I wanted to say this morning. We need to make sure that we understand what Scripture teaches in regards to the doctrines, in regards to the resurrection, in regards to other teachings found in the Word of God. So many times, believers, and I'm talking believers, are ignorant. Believers have become ignorant because they do not want to dig in and study. Now, I want to say this carefully. I believe there's times for studying, and I believe we all need to study the Word of God. I also believe there is times that we need to take the doctrines and the teachings and apply it to our hearts and lives. There needs to be a balance on those. There are some individuals that have all the knowledge of the world, and they can give you all the highfalutin terms of everything and what everything's called, and they can talk about hypostatic union and all these different words, and they can tell you all this, but they don't know how to take those teachings and live those teachings in their lives. And what was being taught here is he wanted them to understand the doctrine, but he also wanted them to understand how it played a role in their daily lives. And that is what's so crucial in your life and my life, is we take the teachings of the Word of God, but we take it and let it change us, and we apply it, and we live different because of it. It's not that we just have all this knowledge up here. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. We take that knowledge from up here, we put it here, and we live it out in our lives. And that is what we have to do. And he wanted to, because there was much teaching and much confusion in that day of what was going to take place and what's going to happen. There's much confusion today in regards to the resurrection. There are many churches, and I use that loosely, that teach differently than what the Word of God teaches in regards to the resurrection. It teaches different. There are some people who believe today there is no resurrection, just as some in that day. They believe once you die, you go to the ground, you stay in the ground, your body dissolves, if you will, nice way to put it, and nothing happens to your spirit, nothing happens to your soul, nothing happens to anything else. It just stays there. You're dead in the grave, and there is no heaven, there's no hell, there's nothing that ever takes place. There is no resurrection for the believer. There's nothing that happens. That's not what the Bible teaches, though. There are some believe that you're resurrection, but you're going to come back as something else. All right? Some believe that you're here you die, you go on the ground, and you're going to come back as a dog or a cow. My luck, if that was true and it's not true, please don't say Pastor Jane believes this. I don't. I'd probably come back as a cow. Those that know my cow stories know, or a horse, a cow or a horse, I probably. But I'm glad that's not true. I'm glad that does not happen, or a bird. And I'm glad any animal. I'm glad that's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. I'm glad that some of you, when you die, you're going to be in heaven. You have a glorious body. We're going to talk about that a little bit. You're going to be different. I'm glad you're not coming back again. One time with you, it's good. No, just kidding. And I'm glad. Just teasing. When I said that, he hit Lori and said, yes, I am. I couldn't believe that. But anyways, so we know that's not true. We know that's not. Just kidding. He didn't do that, Lori. We know that's. Lori did it to him. We know that's not true. That's not what happened. And we see what takes place here. There will be a resurrection. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That word asleep, some say that's a soul sleep. No, that's a rest. That's a time of resting. That's a time of being at rest. And God is the one that's going to cause them to come up, and we're going to see that in a minute. This individual, I don't want you to be concerned about those that are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Because these individuals that have died before you, this is what he doesn't want to be ignorant. These individuals that have died before you, they have a hope. There is a hope. And the understanding is they were sorrowful during their day because they thought their loved ones, they thought the ones that went before them, there was no hope for them. But there was hope. And he's telling them through this epistle, he's telling them there is hope. You have hope. Church at Thessalonica, there is hope. And this hope is found in Jesus Christ. And there's hope there. Don't be ignorant. Don't be sad. Don't be mistaken. I want you to understand that there is hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You could go to 1 Corinthians, and the Bible says if there was not the resurrection, our faith is dead. And what he is saying, what he's writing here, he's telling them, just as Jesus died and rose again, you have hope because you serve a risen Savior. You have hope because just as Jesus is risen and there's a resurrection and this took place, just as Jesus died and rose again, your loved ones, those individuals, those who are asleep, those who are resting there are going to be rise up, they're going to be brought up, caught up, they're going to be taken up, there's going to be something that takes place, there's going to be the resurrection that happens, that takes place. Yes, I didn't use the right word there. You can laugh. All right. And he's going to call them up, and they're going to rise from the dead, and that's going to happen. Those that are asleep, because Jesus had victory over the grave. And as Jesus had victory over the grave, Jesus has victory over the grave for you and for me as well. And that is the thought we need to keep in mind this morning as we look at this. And this is what he was telling them. You might be confused. You might be ignorant. You might not understand what is happening. But let me clarify for you this. They're not dead. They're asleep. They're going to be coming. And when I come back, when Jesus comes, they're going to rise up, and those are going to be caught up. Now, we're going to talk about the confusion, another confusion they had in just a minute. But let's look at this in our lives. You and I have hope this morning. Some of you have lost some loved ones. Some of you have people that you cared about that are believers that have passed away. But there's hope. There's also hope for this world this morning. Because once a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they have hope. Just as you and I have hope this morning, they have hope this morning when they put their faith in Jesus Christ. There is a resurrection that's going to take place. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So what's going to happen? They're going to be resurrected. God's going to bring, now we know what's going to take place too. When Jesus comes back, God's going to bring them with him as well. And that's going to take place. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now what that means is what? Just because you're alive doesn't mean you're going to be taken up first, all right? The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain be caught up together, taken up. That whole event, that whole thing that's going to take place and take place and happen, there is going to be that resurrection that's going to take place. There will be a rescue that takes place. Not only a resurrection, there will be a rescue. He's going to come up, he's going to take them up there for the saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain and the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. The word caught means to snatch away or be taken up. So there's a coming. Jesus is coming. The resurrection is true. It's going to take place. There is going to be a rescue. There's going to be the catching up or caught, being caught up, taken up. That's going to take place. What's going to happen? Well, the events explain here. Now, this is, I tell you, I don't know exactly how we're going to see things, how we're going to know what's going to take place, and if we're going to even be able to think about it, because I believe it's going to be that quick of an event that takes place. But look at this as we see what's going to happen here. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Could you imagine what that shout is going to sound like? I mean that shout. I believe it's going to be a shout of almost a victory shout. We understand he already has the victory. I understand we know what's going to take place and all that's going to happen. And he has a victory even now. But I believe it's almost that victory type of shout. I don't believe it's going to be this scare type of shout. I believe it's going to be an exciting shout that you're excited about what's happening because there's victory. Or those that have been at any type of sporting events when you could go to them and those type of things. What happened? There's that cheering. There's that excitement. There's that loudness. There's that shout that's going to be. And there's a shout that I believe is going to penetrate this whole world. This is the type of shout. Some of you know I have a loud voice at times. I believe that shout's going to be a lot louder than my voice, all right? So those that have a hard time with that, get your earplugs in your ear all the time or something so you're ready for that shout. But I believe it's going to be a loud shout. I believe it's going to be something that's going to catch attention of many. Again, I don't know how much we're going to comprehend because I believe it's going to be a quick event that takes place and that happens. But there's going to be that shout that takes place. But look at next what's going to happen there. With the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's going to be a lot of noise. There's going to be the archangel. There's going to be the trumpet. There's going to be the sounding. There's going to be that. This is a glorious time. Let me tell you. This is not a sad time. This is a glorious time. We should not be afraid when this time happens. We should be excited when this time happens. Now, there are some that are going to be afraid. Because when this takes place, those that have even heard the truth but never received the truth, things are going to, I believe, happen in their mindset. They're going to say, oh no, what my loved one told me before, it's happening. It's true. I remember grandma told me this. I remember grandpa told me this. I remember mom and dad told me this was going to happen. And now they're sitting back and they could have hope, but they're sitting back and saying, wait, these events are unfolding. These events are taking place. This is happening. Here's the sound. Here's the trumpet. Here's all this is happening. This is what's happening. This is what's going on. But it should be a time of excitement. And this comes, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This takes place. It's caught up. All this is introduction too. We haven't gotten the message yet. All caught up, all taken together. Why remain? Be with Jesus. It says forever. Did you get that? I want you to see this for a minute. I want you to point this here. And so shall ever be with the Lord. It's going to take place. It's going to happen. I believe there's going to be a reunion. I don't know how much we're going to even care about the reunion, to be honest, because the one reunion, all we're going to care about is to be with Jesus. But I do believe, if you look in Scripture, I believe that we have some reunion with loved ones and other individuals that we're with, and we don't have time to get into all that. Some believe differently than that, but I do believe we will have a reunion. I do believe the main reunion we're going to be caring about is being able to see our Lord and Jesus Christ face to face and be able to be Him. Someone just was in my office this last week and asked me, so what are we going to do in heaven? Doesn't sound like there's a lot to do. Our mindset's going to be different because we're going to have a new body, glorious body. It's going to be totally changed. All we're going to care about is that we're with our Jesus. And our whole life is going to be consumed with Jesus. And that, guess what? Our life today ought to be on this earth, consumed with Jesus. And if we're consumed with Jesus, we should be consumed with Jesus today. But someday we're going to ultimately be consumed with Jesus. And that's all we're going to care about when we're in heaven. That's all we're going to care about is glorifying Him, praising Him. I do believe we know there's going to be no more sorrow, no more tears, and all that's going to take place. I believe we're going to have good voices, Brother Rick, and you'll be able to sing. And I believe we'll be able to sing praises unto our God and be able to just be with Him. That's what heaven is. Heaven is nothing about us. Heaven is going to be all about God, all about serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and consumed with Him. There's going to be that reunion. There's going to be that catching up. This resurrection is coming. Jesus is coming in the air. He's going to call us up. Those in Christ Jesus, those who are dead in Christ, those who are alive in Christ, they're going to be all caught up together. The key is this, though, in Christ. You see, you won't be caught up. You won't be raptured up, resurrected up. You won't be taken up if you're not in Christ Jesus. He died for you. He rose for you. He offers the only way of salvation. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ, Him alone. No other way do we find salvation. This is going to take place. It's going to happen. You believe it or not, it's going to take place. It's going to happen. So if we truly believe Jesus is coming, we should be engaged in certain activities. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. And this is where I want to spend the rest of our time looking at some thoughts in regards to what we should be doing. What we should be doing between now and the time that is coming. There's hope. There's hope because the resurrection is going to take place. There's hope. There's the reunion. There's hope because this event is true. There's a rescue. We're going to be taken from this world. I'm glad this world's not my end all. I'm glad I'm going to leave this world. But what do I need to be doing between now and then? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8 says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the day, not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. You know what we need to be doing? We need to love His appearing, looking for His appearing. We should be looking for Him. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be looking for Him. That is crucial in our lives. In other portions of Scriptures, it says they were looking for Jesus. They were waiting for Jesus. You know how many believers live today? I hope Jesus doesn't come back today. Oh, I hope He doesn't come back because I know I did this today, and I know I was involved in this, and I know I wasn't living for God like this. You see, Jesus is coming. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be the voice of the archangel. There's going to be the trump of God. This is going to happen. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and may be caught up together. This event's going to take place. It's going to happen. But before this happens, let me ask you, the time that God has given you, we need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to be using the time that God has given us. God has given us this time on this earth, and we need to be looking for the return of Jesus, living with that anticipation in mind, knowing He can come back at any time, knowing that ought to affect my life and motivate me how I live it. Let me ask you, are you looking for Jesus' return? Or are you scared about Jesus' return? As I said, there are some that do not know Christ as their Savior. They ought to be scared about their return. Let me tell you, it ought to burden you this morning that you have kids, grandkids, friends, family members that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I tell you, I want Jesus to return, but I want to be honest. I want to make sure that every one of my children know the Lord is their Savior before the Lord comes back. I know it's selfish, but I want that. I tell you, I want to make sure that every loved one that I know at least has heard the gospel at least once. Because I want them to know the truth. I want Jesus to come back, don't get me wrong. But I want to be able to share with everyone that God has put before me the gospel. Because I want them to hear the truth. Because I do believe Jesus can come back tomorrow. I do believe we can hear the shout tomorrow. I believe it could take place tomorrow. And just as I much believe that I can come back and I'm looking forward to his return and looking for him to come back, I want to use the time he's given me today to share the gospel with this lost and dying world. I have to realize we have to start reaching out more than we ever reached out before. We have to get more involved. I understand we're living in different circumstances. I understand we can't do as some things we used to do with the door knocking and the different things. I understand that. But let me tell you, each of us are responsible to take the gospel to all in this world, to every creature. We're to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I daily ought to find ways and avenues to be able to share the gospel. We ought to be taking the tracks in the track rack. We ought to be writing letters. We ought to be calling individuals. We ought to be sharing and taking that time. And when God brings someone across our path and share the gospel, we ought to look at ways that we can take some of the finances that we have, our personal finances, and how we can get the gospel out even better, how we as a church can get the gospel out more, how we can let people know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be looking for his return. But go to 1 John. 1 John chapter number 3. And look at verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. We should be living like he might come at any time. Purify himself for as he is pure. Be holy for I am holy. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be looking for his return and waiting for his return and wanting him to return. But we need to be living for his return. That means you and I need to be living holy, pure lives. We need to live lives that are set apart. We need to live lives that are different than this world. That means you and I need to be living like a Christian. You know, we take the title Christian and we stamp it on our lives. But just because we stamp the title on us doesn't mean we are Christ-like. I understand when I get saved, I don't become a Christian. You say, what? Yeah, when I get saved, I become a believer. I'm saved. But a Christian is one who is Christ-like or an imitator of Christ. I can't just stamp that on my life and say I'm a Christian. If I have that on my life, that means I am Christ-like. I know we use that term Christian differently in our day and age, and that means someone that's a believer, and it carries that idea, but I believe it goes a step further than that. That means you and I are Christ-like. If I'm truly a Christian, who were the first ones called Christians? It was those in Antioch that were addicted to the gospel. It was those that were addicted to the ministry. It was those that were living the life. Those are the ones that were called Christians first because they were living what they said they believed. And that's a Christian. You know what we need to be doing? We need to be living as Christians today. I need to be living as Christ today. I need to be so set apart, so different than this world, acting so different that people don't see me, they see my Savior Jesus Christ. They look beyond me. They see Jesus in you. They see Jesus in me. They don't see James Bliss, but they see my Savior. That's how we ought to be living. Too many Christians are living for themselves today. Too many believers. See, I just used that way it was talked about. Too many believers live as if they are living for themselves instead of living for Jesus. They're living for their desires, their hopes, their emotions, their feelings. What's going to make them happy? What makes them successful? What they need to do. Wait, Jesus is coming. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be the trump. All that's going to take place, then a Christ shall rise first, we which are alive remain. It's going to happen. This event's going to take place. And you and I are wasting our days instead of living for Jesus. Do you know, and we know this, do you know what we think is important today really isn't that important? Do you know, as much as I like certain things, it really doesn't matter. Now, those know, as I've always struggled with weight. Those remember several years ago, I lost a lot of weight. The way I lost weight, I had to eat 600 to 800 calories. And I couldn't go over that. That's how I lost weight. And then I put it back on as soon as I went over that. All that took place. The Lord, not cheating, Tina, the Lord blessed and was able recently to have surgery. Before surgery, I lost about 85 pounds before that, if not a little more. And then since surgery, about another 45 pounds of that weight. Right now, I'm not hungry. It's a good thing. Right now, I honestly don't miss food. I thought I would. Now, those that have been around know I try to eat certain things and it's getting better, but I get sick. So I've tried to be careful, and this week's been pretty good, except one day of what is going on. But honestly, I thought I would really crave some things that I would want and eat. Right now, I'm not. I don't even want it. I don't even want it because what we thought we needed, we don't need. What you think you and I need today, and it's a tool, Tina. Tina's just jealous because her insurance will never pay for it. See, she said that's right. I'm eating less than that now, but I have a tool that helps. But the thought is this. What we think is so important today, what you as a child, you as a young person, you as an adult think is so important isn't really that important. I understand we need to take care of family. I understand we need to provide. I understand we need to do certain things. But honestly, if you live in a 500-square-foot house or a 5,000-square-foot house, it really doesn't matter. If I drive a 1984 Ford Escort or I drive a 2020 Mazda Miata, it doesn't really matter. If I shop at Walmart for my clothes, or I shop at Macy's, doesn't really matter. If I go to a thrift store, or my kids have the Polo brand, doesn't matter. If I eat hot dogs every day, or if I eat two bone steaks, doesn't really matter. If I have to use super glue on my shoes, or I have 500 pairs of shoes, really doesn't matter. The point is this. We need to be living for Jesus, and all the things that we think matter don't really matter. My kids excel in school. Yes, I want them to do their best. But does it really matter if my kids are 4.0 or 2.0? It doesn't really matter. Because I'd rather have a kid with a 2.0 living for Jesus than a kid with a 4.0 not living for Jesus. The point is this. We need to be living for Jesus. It does not matter what we think matters in life. We've said this so many times. Our whole purpose in life is to glorify God. And that's true. We say it. But let's get down, really down to it. We put more concern about what we think is important than what we know to be important. That is so evident in how you and I live daily on a regular basis. We need to be looking. We need to be living. I also want us to see we need to be loving. Go to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse number 15. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You say, well, that's mission verse. That's taking the gospel. How's that love? How's it love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's love because if I love one another as I should, I will share the gospel with them. If I love the way that I'm supposed to love, I will share the gospel. See, I need to be loving the lost and preaching the gospel. Jesus is coming. There's going to be the event that happened. The dead, those who are alive and remain caught up. It's going to take place. It's going to happen. But I need to, in this time that God has given me, I need to show love and have a love for this lost and dying world. I have to have a love for one another. We talked about this morning in our family hour about having mercy. We're looking at the Beatitudes of having mercy and compassion. I need to have compassion. I'm glad when God saw this world, he had compassion over this world. He had compassion of those with sheep with no shepherd. He had that compassion, that love. You and I need to have compassion and love for this world. We said a little bit about this, but let me just say this again. When I look at people, I need to see people through the eyes of Jesus. I need to see them as people that need the Lord. What's going to change this world is not all the political things that are happening. You know what's going to change this world? What we refer to as a revival. But how does revival take place? A revival takes place by God's people praying. But it takes place by God's people praying for something. Praying as they take the gospel and share the gospel. That the gospel pierces the hearts of the individuals. And those individuals come to save now the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when revival takes place. You know where revival takes place? It takes place with you and me getting right with God. And as you and I get right with God, we take the gospel. And as we take the gospel, the word of God, to this lost and dying world, then it pierces their heart. They come to save now the Lord Jesus Christ. God gets a hold of them. Then they go and take the gospel. And then those individuals, they take the gospel too. They get saved. They go and take the gospel. That's how revival, that's how this world's going to change. It's not going to change if we sit in our pews and soak and sour and close our mouths. How it's going to change is we need to live our lives and be a testimony of Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get our hearts right with God. And then we need to go out and we need to share the gospel with this world and let them know Jesus loved them and died for them and rose again, and they need to turn to Jesus. That's what we need to share. That's what's going to change this world. That's what's going to change our politics. That's what's going to change our country. That's what's going to change people's attitudes. That's what's going to deal with the wickedness and the evilness that we're facing in this world. Is Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, as long as he tarries, as long as he waits, we need to take the gospel and share the gospel. There's still individuals that need to hear. little individuals that he's long-suffering to that will come to the saving knowledge of him. I'm glad God is long-suffering. Yes, I'm looking forward to him coming back, but I'm glad he's long-suffering because it's given me another opportunity to share the gospel, and it's given someone else another opportunity to hear the gospel. And let's be vigilant about sharing the word of God. We need to be looking, we need to be living, we need to be loving, and we need to be warring. Warring? What do you mean warring? We're in a battle. And you know what's going to happen? What's happened to many, as they're waiting for the Lord's return, they are in that battle, they're warring, and they get tired. They're in that battle. And instead of tapping in all the strength and power that God can give them, you know what happens? They allow the devil to overtake them. I'm not saying they lose their salvation. No man can pluck you out of the hand of God. You cannot lose your salvation. Your salvation is not anchored in you. Your salvation is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't lose your salvation. But let me tell you, there's times that many people have been defeated, spiritually speaking. The devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The battle is real. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers of this world. We wrestle against the evilness and the darkness of this world. We wrestle against all the things that are taking place. And let me tell you, between now and the time Jesus is coming back, I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get worse. I believe the Bible clearly teaches as we get closer, and again, we don't know the time, but as we get closer to the Lord coming back, it's going to get tougher. Trials are going to happen more. Tribulations are coming. We are living in a time where we are in the latter of the last days. The Bible warns us that there are going to be those that want their ears tickled instead of the teaching of the doctrine of the Word of God. There's going to be more wickedness involved. I tell you, I understand there's wickedness. There's always been wickedness in this world. And maybe it's because it's more easy to get to today. It seems more prevalent. But wickedness is everywhere we turn today. I understand there was wickedness back in the Bible days. I understand there was wickedness back when your grandparents were there. But I tell you, with our technology, and there's good and bad about technology, but with our technology today, evilness is around us even more than ever before. And we see it. You watch it on the news. You watch it here. You read about it on this device, that device. Everywhere you go, you see wickedness. Filth is prevalent as well. Everywhere you turn, it used to be that you couldn't get some of the filth from that. It was hard to do. Now it's available to anyone, everywhere that it's there. Wickedness is there. And let me tell you, the devil knows what he's doing. The devil knows how to stop you and me living for God and redeeming the time. He knows how to get in your life and my life and destroy it. He knows how to stop you. We need to be warring. We need to say, no, devil, you're not getting me. We need to say, you're not getting my home, for it's me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. You're not getting my kids. We're going to be warring our family. We're going to be looking and longing and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to say, no way, you're not coming in. I'm not giving you a foothold in my life. No, my Jesus is coming, and I'm going to be living for him. My family's going to be living for him. We're going to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're not going to allow it. Because I have some time on this earth still, and that time on this earth is for me to raise my family and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's my time on this earth to live for my God. And you're not going to rob me of that time. I'm going to be that witness. I'm going to be that testimony. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. And I'm going to use it for him. We need to be warring. Oh, don't quit. Oh, don't give in. Don't say it's too hard. I understand it's tough. I understand life's hard. I understand the battle's great. But let me tell you something. Jesus is coming. And I tell you, I want to, when my Lord comes, I want to stand before my Lord someday and hear, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." I want to be able to stand before him and say, "Yes, you weren't perfect, but you strived and you desired to live for me. And you used that time and you fought off the devil." And we can't fight off the devil by ourselves. That's why you got to put on the whole armor of God, that we're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we have to put on that armor of God because God gave you the strength to stand against the attacks that are coming. And the attacks are going to come. But let's war. Let's be on our knees warring. You know what we need? We need prayer warriors today. We need God's people. We need husbands. We need wives. We need mothers. We need fathers. Grandparents, aunts and uncles, children on their knees praying before God. Asking God to put a hedge around their families. Asking God to protect their families. Praying for individuals that have gone astray. Praying for the church. Praying for power. Praying for God to do a work. We need individuals praying and understanding that we're in a battle, we're in attack, and we need to find ourselves praying for one another. And praying for the power of God. We need to be warring on our knees. We need to take a stand in our homes. There's no place for wimpy parents anymore. There's no place for wimpy church members. There's no place for wishy-washy Christianity. We need individuals who are going to rise up. Stand up and say, "Devil, you're not getting in. I'm not giving you any place. I'm not giving you a foothold in my life. I'm not giving you a half of a centimeter. You're not getting close. You're not coming in. No way, no how. You're not going to get in here. I'm going to resist the devil and he's going to flee. I'm not going to give this place because my God is coming back. Jesus is coming. He's going to take me. And I'm going to use the time he's given me. And devil, you ain't going to win. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My Lord, my Savior is far greater than you. And you're not going to have my home. You're not going to have my life. You're not going to have my family. You're not going to have my church. My church, my family, my home is going to serve God till I leave this world. That ought to be our prayer, our desire in our lives. This is going to come. There's going to be the shout. There's going to be the trump. Dead in Christ, live and remain, be caught up together. We'll leave this world. But I have time between now and then. I don't know how much, but I have time. What am I doing with that time God has given me and will still give me? Let's use it for his honor and his glory. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this portion of Scripture. We thank you for this teaching. So much more in that teaching. We just gave a brief overview in regards to you coming. But Lord, help us to realize there's hope. Help us to realize how that should be a motivation in our lives. Lord, help us to realize what we ought to be doing. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.